Today's message is going to be short. The name of this title is The First Seal Opened. And I want to give you a little bit of background as we go in. And while I'm giving you the background, Gary, would you hand these out, please? Thank you. Everyone, this is a handout for the seals. Whoever would want one, put your hand up and we'll make sure it gets to you. First of all, I want to remind us that you know, this is first century literature that we are looking at. John was writing to the first century believers about these events that God has called into being. This revelation of Jesus is awesome. We have seen that in the first five chapters that God is busy working with the church. He has brought people from the church, John, and he's elevated it so that we could see from heaven the awesomeness of heaven. Thank you. And we see that there is such praise and such worship of our God and King for what he has done. He has brought salvation to the nations. For he is salvation to the nations. And only he is able to now open up the seals of the scroll that the Father was holding. And like I said, I believe they contain all the promises and much more that he has for mankind. And it is up to someone, and fortunately for us, it is the Lion of Judah who has now been able to take that scroll from the Father, and he is proceeding now to open up these seals one by one. And so what we are now going to begin to see is the beginning of the end. Judgment is going to come upon the church. He has spoken that. He says judgment starts in the household of God. And now what's going to happen is judgment is going to be brought down onto the nations, especially Israel. Okay? He wants all people to come to salvation, the knowledge of the living God, and trust in him to redeem them and bring them to heaven with him. But there are those who are in the church who are disobedient to the gospel. They are not doing the things that they're supposed to be doing. Those individuals and those who do not know God will ultimately be destroyed and punished according to 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 9, 1 Timothy 1, verses 6 through 11, and 1 Peter 4, 17. We see now that the number 7 is going to take preeminence through these scriptures. 7 is the number of completion or perfection. And we understand that 7, we see 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 bowls. Okay? So every one of these systematic judgments is going to be complete. It is going to rock the world, so to speak. And it is not going to be a fun place to be. Now, in looking at these scriptures, we have three main ways in which we can look at these scriptures. We can look at it either through the recapitulation view, and that is the system of repetitive cycles. In each one of these judgments, there are repetitive cycles, and they are very similar to each other. And only in the judgments of the trumpet and bowls, are they exactly alike? They're not only similar, they're very alike, but they have different devastating effects upon the world. Then we have the consecutive, that judgment will occur in the exact order as they're written. In other words, as you see the seal being broken, that judgment is going to happen. And there are 21 chronological events that's going to happen with each one of these judgments being released. That is another way of looking at it. And then you have the progressive intensification. That means that the seals, when the seals are open, a fourth of the world will be destroyed. A quarter of the world will be destroyed. When the trumpets sound, another third of the world will be destroyed. And of course, when the bowls are poured out, it will destroy the rest of the world. It will be a complete and utter destruction that is going on. And you and your friends and neighbors that you love and care about, God loves and cares about them more than you could ever ask or imagine. And that is why He is sending the church out at this time, because these events are about or already happening. Whether you understand it or not, they are happening before your eyes. You are seeing the Word of God come into play. They may be in their infancy, but they are now beginning to happen. The thing is, whatever system that you use, and I'm not going to tell you what I use, because that's for my personal interpretation. I do not want to influence you. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to you as to what He's saying. But these are the three main ways of looking at these judgments. But only one thing is that God truly knows the system of what's going to happen and how they're going to occur. They may occur out of order. I don't know. All I know is a few things. And these few things is this. How you live now is going to determine where you're going to be at judgment. Okay? Not the judgment seat, the judgment. Whether you're going to live through the bowls, or you're going to live through the trumpets, or you're going to live through the seals. How you live is going to determine that. And as I stated to you before, at the end of chapter 3 in Revelation 3, there is no mention of the church. The true church of Jesus Christ. Those who do not know God or are disobedient to the gospel will be left here. The other thing is that wickedness is increasing daily. If you look at the news, you can see how wicked and perverted the world is becoming. And those who do not know their God are going to be swept into that perversion. They are going to be swept into those things. And they're going to be crying out to God and cursing Him at the same time, because they didn't do what God had said to them to do in order to prepare themselves. This is not a system to be joking around. I got till tomorrow to handle this. You got today. That's what you have. Tomorrow is gone, and you're not even promised the future. You have today. And today is the day that you start, if you're not walking in the things that God has told you to walk in, to repent, get it under the blood, and start walking these things out. And hopefully, we are all doing that. Amen? And the final thing, judgment is coming. It is coming. It is a fact. It is coming. The world is coming to an end. I was watching a show yesterday talking about how the earth was made. And everything that they were talking about is there is some sort of cataclysmic event in the future that's going to happen. And it's going to change everything. Read the Bible. It tells you that something's going to happen. But scientifically, the world is being prepared for devastation, unlike anything we have ever seen or heard about or want to be involved in. It is going to be nasty for those who do not know Jesus Christ. Amen? Let us turn to Revelation. We are only going to deal with the first two verses today, and I will be reading a lot of other verses in this. But the verses 1 and 2 says, "And as I watched," this is John, he says, "the Lamb broke the first of the seven seals of the scroll. And then I heard one of the four living beings saying with a loud voice like thunder, 'Come!' And I looked up and saw a white horse standing there, and its rider carried a bow, and a crown was placed on his head. And he rode out to win many battles and gain the victories." Looking for my water. Over here. This is the first apocalyptic horseman. We know there's four horsemen that is coming, and each one has a special job to perform. We must understand that as John is standing there, beholding the true worship of Jesus Christ, how loud and thunderous and exciting it is. One of these living creatures. Just like that angel, remember I said that angel was shouting? Now this living creature is doing the same thing. He has to shout over all the praise and worship. All creation is worshiping our God. And he has to shout over the top of this to get John's attention to come, or the true translation is come and see, or come to see what is about to happen. We are now slowly diverting our attention from the Lamb and his victory and the celebration of it that has taken place in heaven to now we're going to see how man and his perversion is causing God to destroy what he has loved so much. And I think sometimes we look at Revelation as a story when really it is a vision of the unfolding of Jesus Christ and his proclamation that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this first seal is now being broken before all creation. And John sees this individual holding a crown, has this bow in his hand, and he's riding this white charger, and he's running throughout the earth fighting wars and was very victorious. Now, anytime that you see white or a white animal or something like that, it usually speaks about the goodness of God being moved throughout the earth. But in this case here, many have misinterpreted and said that this was an element of Jesus Christ being out here. But my Bible has instructed me that this is not who this individual is. If he's one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, then he has to be somebody other than our Christ and our Lord. The bow, notice that if you can just picture this in his hand, he has a bow, but he has no arrows. So what is his weapon? And I believe his weapon is speech. He is able to conduct speech warrior in such a way that he is solving world problems. He is so stupendous in solving the problems of the world that by his oratorial skills, he is now able to mesmerize people and say, man, that makes a whole lot of sense, and we're solving problems. This person is going to be such an orator that he will flatter the nations by solving their problems. The problem here is that the nations are being choreographed to create these problems to make it seem like this individual is solving them when already the answer has already been there because they know the outcome of what's going to happen. To make this person to look like something that he's not. Amen? And this person is wearing a crown. Now, this word crown in the Greek is called, let me get there, Stephanos. It means victor crown. Christ wears a diadem, a kingly crown. So this person is masquerading as some sort of king who's gaining these victories and all. But he is not the king. Only Jesus is going to wear this diadem. And so this person is riding around with this bow, and he's using this weapon of his tongue in such a way to mesmerize the nations. We must realize that I believe it is in chapter, I'll say 12 in Revelation, or actually 19, I think it is, when Christ comes back, he's going to come with a sword. He's not going to use a bow. He's going to use a sword, which is a true weapon. The sword symbolizes face-to-face confrontation or combat, where a bow represents long distance or secretive warfare. This rider will be a person who is going to go out, and all he does is look like he's looking for the next problem to solve, the next battle to win, and he wins them. And this person, I believe, is the Antichrist. I truly do. He's going to look like Jesus. He's going to sound like Jesus. But he is Satan's imitator. He's going to bring peace and prosperity and health to the world and to the nations. And oh, the world's going to fall in love with this guy. But it's all set up. It's all set up. Turn to Daniel. We can see what the prophet said about this guy. Daniel 9. Starting in verse 24, and we will read to verse 27. 77s are decreed for your people in your holy city to finish transgression and to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Knowing and understanding this, from the issuing of this decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and trenches, but in times of trouble. And after 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and sanctuary. The end will be like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations will be decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7, but in the middle of the 7, he will put an end to a sacrifice and offerings, and one who causes desolation will place abominations on a wing of the temple until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. Antichrist. Daniel gives us a time frame, and we're going to look at this time frame in the weeks ahead. But basically, he's telling us that there are 70 weeks, 70 sevens, 490 years, of which 69 of those sevens have occurred. 62 when Messiah came and he got cut off. Then it was the age of the Gentiles, which have been fulfilled. And shortly, we have one more 7 a week. 7 years in which this individual will make covenant with Israel. And in the middle of that covenant, he will break off that covenant and turn on Israel to destroy Israel once and for all, of which our God and King will come and rescue Israel and destroy the nations, destroy Antichrist, destroy the false prophet and the beast, and in the end will be there. These are just some of the coming events that Daniel has prophesied. Let's look quickly at Zechariah chapter 1. Verses 7 through 17. And on the 24th day, the 11th month, the month of Shabbat, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo. And during the night I had a vision, and there before me was a man riding a red horse, and he was standing amongst the myrtle trees in the ravine. And behind him was a red, brown, and white horse. And I asked, "What are these, my Lord?" And the angel said, who was talking with me, said, "I will show you what they are." And then the man standing among the myrtle trees explained, "They are the ones that the Lord has sent to go out throughout the whole earth." Remember the first seal now. And they reported to the angel of the Lord, who was standing among the myrtle trees, "We have gone throughout the earth and found that the whole earth at rest and in peace." Then the angel of the Lord said, "Lord Almighty, how long will you withhold mercy from Jerusalem and from the towns of Judah, which you have been angry with all these 70 years?" And so the Lord spoke kind and comforting words to the angel who talked with me. And then the angel who was speaking to me proclaimed this word, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. I am very jealous for Jerusalem and Zion, but I am very angry with the nations that feel secure. I am only a little angry, but they have added to the calamity. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I will return to Jerusalem with mercy, and there my house will be rebuilt. And the measuring line will be stretched out over Jerusalem, declares the Lord. proclaim further, this is what the Lord Almighty says. My towns will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord again will comfort Zion and choose Jerusalem. I want us to focus not on the totality of the prophecy that's going on, although that prophecy is being fulfilled before our eyes today, in that Israel was not a nation until 1948, and it is prospering all over again. The only problem with Israel, it has become so secularized and so religialized that only true believers are few and far between in that mist. And so God is going to use the nations to wake Israel up one more time, but he's going to use four horsemen to do this. Then Matthew. Let's go to Matthew 24. This is what the Lord says. Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8. And Jesus answered. Well, let's go back. And Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives. This is verse 3. And the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, what will this happen, or when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered, watch out for no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that no one be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginnings of birth pains. Do we see that happening today? Do we see nation against nation? Ethnos against ethnos, which is what that word is. We see such horrendous atrocities happening in Africa that they're killing them because centuries ago, their peoples conquered the previous peoples. Now the power has switched, and now they're killing them in revenge of what had happened hundreds of years ago. We see such devastation going on in Asia, where people are being starved, slave labor, under the guise of prosperity. People working for slave wages, kept in housing that is worse than what our poor live in this country. Kingdom against kingdom. Don't we see those rumors and threats? You know, you look at Iran threatening the United States. You see Russia now positioning itself. And anyone who thinks that Russia is our friend has not read the last book, has not understood that Russia wants to drive us out of the way so that they can take the oil. But we know that China is going to come in. The King of the East is going to come in. There is going to be such turmoil that is on the earth that if you do not know your God, you better get to know Him as quickly as possible. Your little problems and my little problems will not even compare to the devastation and turmoil that is going to come upon the land. And it will all start with this first individual who is making promises, who is going to solve problems. And I believe that individual is in the earth today. I believe he is just waiting for the right time to be revealed. I don't believe it's the president. Could be, but I don't believe it. I think that this person makes our president, as smooth as he is in his speech and oratory, make him look like a kindergarten just trying to learn how to speak. This is how overpowering that this person's ability to deceive by word is going to be. And unless the saints know what truth is and stay close to God, they will be swept into this. This is the last dictator that will come upon the world. It will make World War II look like a walk in the park. He will destroy people just because of them being there. Those of us that are called Christians are going to be put into camps and exterminated because we stand and live for the living God. They will say that that is wrong, and they will paint us as rebellious, looking to overthrow the government. The truth is, we are trying to establish the king's government, his rightful place amongst the world and those who dwell in it. We should not be afraid of death. We should be afraid of where we are, because we are not doing what God is calling us to do. And the heart of God is for us to speak the truth, to tell people the truth, that God has died for them, has made a way for them, and that when this devastation begins, He is going to get us out of here. The Bible says that the righteous are not made for the wrath of God, which to me tells me that when wrath comes, I'm not going to be a part of it. But Jesus also said, to enter into the kingdom, you must go through much tribulation. And so I say, get rid of this rapture mentality. If He takes us out, let Him take us out. What we should be cultivating in a mentality is we must be about Father's business. Whatever it is and how He wants it done, we must be ever so thinking about that. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I got this, that, and all that. You don't understand how desperate the situation's going to be. It isn't going to matter where we are in our circumstances. It isn't going to matter. You see, those of us that are going to lay claim to Jesus Christ are going to lose our jobs. Why? Because the system is being set up that they're going to have a mark of the beast on us. Do you love your belly more than you love God? That was Esau's downfall. He didn't see or count the double portion of the firstborn as important. So he sold the birthright. And in a sense, you have a double portion. Are you going to sell your birthright? If you are, you're not worthy of the kingdom. And I'm not saying this to scare you, but I wanted to say this to make you understand that the scriptures are so repetitive to tell us what to do and what not to do, that for us to have a cavalier attitude, that time is running out. It's going to be desperate. The stories I've told you through the years are true stories. Now they're coming home to us. You think America is safe? You think this government is your friend? You're only got as many rights as they let you have. You're only going to be allowed to do what they tell you to do. Well, I'm a Christian. Okay, get over there against the wall. We'll deal with you. Just stand there. All right, boys. Kill them. That's what's coming for true believers, not make-believers. And you have to have the attitude that I have. That's for me and my house. We're going to serve God no matter what the cost. You see, taking responsibility is responding with the ability that God has given to you to do the right thing. But I don't want to do the right thing. I have my rights. You don't have any rights when you came to Jesus Christ. How many times I got to tell you? You gave it to Him. You said, "You're Lord of my life. You rule my life." And we run around and we renege on the deal. This guy is not going to renege on his deal. He is going to kill you and me. And then deny that he had anything to do with it. Oh, I don't know. You know, that Dan Garlic, he was a madman. You know, he was a madman. And so, you know, he tried to harm his wife and kids. And so we had to take him out for their protection. That doesn't happen today, does it? It happens more than you would believe. Antichrist is in the world. Antichrist is setting the stage. Antichrist is now beginning to maneuver the pieces of the puzzle so that world dominion comes into play. Antichrist is going to look good on the outside, but he is not our friend. Our friend is in Christ. We've got to wake up, church. We've got to begin to start engaging people. But my life is not right. It doesn't matter about your life. Your life is hidden in Jesus Christ. What matters is, are you going to be bold as lions and go tell them the truth? Oh, but they may think ill of me. Then you're not worthy of the kingdom, because he said, go and preach. Go and preach. I'm witnessing to a sheik. That's a guy who's from India. Who's staunch. He hates Muslims, but he hates Christians too. And I tell him, I'm not a Christian. I'm a believer in Christ. And someday we'll have that conversation. The lazy and slothful in the church will be sadly surprised when they find that they're left behind. They're going to go through terrible conditions, worse than I could ever imagine. This is not the time for us to sit on our hands or put our head in the sand and pretend that this isn't going to happen. It's going to happen, and it's happening right before our eyes. Not that we're going to change what's being developed. I'm not asking us to change what's being developed. What I'm asking is for us to fulfill the call of the destiny of the church worldwide, of which is to go and preach the good news, heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free, deliver them who mourn, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead. You see, my Jesus has equipped me to do every good work to destroy the works of the devil. Who's your Jesus? Tough questions. But that's the difference between a believer, and believe me, I fight with doubt, and make believers. You're going to see shortly the oppression of the church by this government. Why? Because charitable contributions are setting up these citadels that the church is going to be taxed, because this government is so far in debt that it cannot afford to allow the church to move around without some sort of payment. And I just heard, I think it was yesterday, I just heard that there's rumblings in the Senate to do away with charitable contributions as a write-off. Imagine that. They can't do that. No, they cannot make a law against religion, but they can tax. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that. They could tax buildings. They could tax possessions. They could tax. And if you don't think that's going to happen, take it from me, it's going to happen. Because this is what God has shown me 15 years ago. It is not going to be fun. It is not going to be easy. But you know what? If you guys are history buffs like I am, get every movie that you possibly can that talks about World War II. Not the propagandized versions, but ones that actually show historical accuracy as to what had happened to the Slavs, to the Jews, to the Ukraine. How these governments were trying to exterminate, either through by the bullet, by experimentation, or by starvation. They were bent on their destruction because they believed that they were subhuman. And Christ died for them. Antichrist is going to be even worse. This is only the first seal. What's going to come next? It doesn't matter what comes next. What matters is we get on his agenda, on his page, and start, as he says, compel them to come in. Compel them. Don't take no for an answer. Don't allow them to have excuses. Compel them to come in because they need to hear the truth. God loves them. God died for them as he died for you and me. Now they need to hear that truth. They need to see that truth in their lives. and as the Spirit was saying today, it's time for us to give out. It's time to stop just receiving. You know, I use that illustration of the Dead Sea. If you don't have a means to give it away, you're dead. You'll eventually die. And I don't believe that for streams. I don't believe that for the church. I just think we need to wake up and start doing what God says. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, I just thank you for your word. Lord, you have woken us to the reality of Antichrist. God, let us rally around your banner, Lord. You tell us that when wicked comes in like a flood, that you put up a standard, Lord, and we rally to that standard. God, we are not going to be caught in the morass and the mess. We are going to be with you, Lord. It's going to be like how Moses said, who stands on the Lord's side as Israel was caught in idolatry? And Levites came across and said, we will stand with the Lord. God, we stand for you. It's going to take radical thinking. It's going to take radical courage. It's going to take radical men and women to win the lost, to wake them up, and to see that the options are becoming less and less, God. Father, may we run to your bulwarks, Lord, and you close the gates in and protect us from the things that are about to be unleashed. May we truly, truly become dissatisfied where we are with you, God, and hunger and thirst after you and your righteousness, God, that we would press in to have your kingdom come, your will be done in our lives, so that we may be able to reach those who need to hear and see and taste the goodness of you, Lord. I ask that this be the beginning, God, of the time that we rally around you and go and bring them in. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.